Samuel chapter 16. Read one verse and then we'll go backwards in history just a bit. The chapter opens up by talking about David, God's anointed king. God even said that he's a man after my own heart. Didn't say that about many people. David had his faults, but God looks upon the heart. And when David made mistakes, and he did, and when you make mistakes, and you do, and when I make mistakes, and I do, then we have a God that forgives when we confess. And when we come to him and ask for that forgiveness, which he promised to give us, from the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaking. So this chapter leads off in the first verse, chapter 16. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. Need to back up and look a little history here. What's happening? David had been the anointed king that God put on the throne of Israel. And then we see at this particular time he has happened to flee for his own life. Oh, he had done that before when he was anointed king by Samuel, even though he hadn't occupied the throne yet. But Saul, the anointed king at the time, found out that David had been anointed, and so he sought his life. And many, many times David had to flee and stay hid in the hillside of Judea for many, many occasions, because Saul would have killed him. So fleeing the city wasn't new to David. But now let's look at why he's having to flee. His son, Absalom, had returned to Jerusalem because a few years earlier, Absalom had a sister, Tamar, and their half-brother, Amnon, raped her. This is in the family. It's an amazing story. And then 2 years after the rape occasion, Absalom, being full of trickery, asked his father permission to go out with his brothers and all the relatives, and they were pretending to be on a venture, but then he had his servants kill his brother, half-brother, Amnon. Then he fled for a period of 2 years to his mother's native country, and lived among the heathens of the day. 2 years. Remember, Jerusalem is a city of peace. That's where his father was living. That's where his father was ruined. But now David had not spoken a word nor tried to fix anything. He didn't say a word, seemingly, when Amnon raped his sister. David the king did not seemingly do anything to investigate. He just let it go. I want to speak to you this morning about lessons. Lessons in truth. I love study and I love probably school more than most people. I absolutely love school. I love teachers that would teach me something because I sure was in the need of learning. I love to teach. That's what preaching is. Preaching is teaching and giving what God said to do. And I didn't remember this morning to put my hearing aids in, so I don't hear as well as I should. But thank God that doesn't stop me from hearing the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to me this morning or any other time. There's just certain things that can't be taken away from us, and that's that ability to hear the voice of a good shepherd. He said, "My sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. Do you hear it with your ears when the Lord speaks?" No, no, no. It is in my heart. You don't mistake anything when the Lord speaks to your heart. Every one of us, no doubt, have periods of time when you hear somebody speak and you have to say, "What did you say?" It's not clear. Dialect or whatever, other noises. But thank God that we can hear. And so now David, God's choice servant, is fleeing. And because Absalom has returned to Jerusalem after 2 years, he has come back to Jerusalem at his father's bidding. But he comes back and still his father won't see his face. Finally, After a couple of years, David saw his face, hugged him, kissed him, and seemingly all was well. But remember, Absalom in that heathen country, the one that had sought and had his servants kill and murder, seemingly with no asking of forgiveness, now he had that root of bitterness in his heart. And it seems as though from the very appearance, first thing I'm going to talk this morning is the appearance of the scene. Things are not always what it appears to be. Truth will prevail. The truth is Absalom had bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife, murder in his heart. So from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And now he has went to all of Israel under a scheme and tried to get David killed. He wanted to kill his father. So David got word of this, and now as we read the first verse, he is fleeting. He is going over the hill. Absalom, supposedly. Remember, the appearance is not always what it seems to be. The appearance is that Absalom is now going to be the king of Israel. Oh, but one thing we want to look at a little bit later on, the appearance of things not always what it ought to be. And not only now has he assumed the responsibility and he has assumed the authority, but God is the one that gives the final authority. Let's talk about those three things this morning. The appearance of things aren't what they seem to be because we don't see the future. And the second thing is the thing that really looks like it's happening is David's fleeing. He'll never return. That's what you would think. David's getting old. Absalom's young. Absalom seemingly has got all of Israel behind him. He has assumed the authority. But then the authority is absolute only when God gives it. So let's look at that lesson in truth this morning. And truth will prevail. It seems as though a lot of lies have been told on David. David is the anointed one. Absalom is telling lies how good a king he would be, and the people have swallowed that. Oh, there's a couple of other people that we'll be able to look at this morning. There is one that has been an advisor, Ahithophel. Ahithophel has been the advisor, and the Bible says about him, when he gave counsel, it was though the oracles of heaven were speaking. He gave good sound advice. But now Ahithophel had forsaken David and went over to Absalom's side. It's a pretty good reason for that. Not a reason, but an excuse. You see, Ahithophel was a grandfather of Bathsheba. Remember what happened? David took Bathsheba from Uriah and had Uriah killed in battle. And the Bible says Uriah was one of David's mighty men. And now the grandfather Ahithophel was an advisor to David. You can see that root of bitterness in Ahithophel's heart because his granddaughter's husband, first husband, had been killed by David. And now David has married his granddaughter. And he has been advisor to David. But now he went over and now he's advisor to Absalom. But remember, the appearance of things is not what it all will seem to be. And even though he had that assumed authority, he thinks now that just because he's got that root of bitterness, unforgiveness. Of course David sinned. God forgave him. It's really hard sometimes for you and I to forgive, particularly when it happens to you and yours. When something happens and somebody tells a lie on you or your family or your children and they use that lie. And what's really, really hard is when people that have been told the lies believe the lies, even though they don't know, but they believe the lies and they act upon those lies. And those lies that have been told is for the betterment of their own individual self. And now they will keep going to hurt and to tear down and destroy. But remember, the appearance of things are not what it always appears to be. And assumed authority is not going to last very long. Because Absalom now, he is having the time of his life. His father is gone. He's over the hill. He's got a lot of allies. Ahithophel is one of the allies, and he speaks from the oracles of heaven, seemingly. But now, as time goes on, let's keep reading the scripture. And see how truth will prevail. The appearance is David is gone. He's lost his kingdom. The appearance is that Absalom has gained the authority, assumed authority, that now he's the king of Israel. But God's pretty quiet right now on the scene. He's in heaven. He's observing everything. Why does God allow these things? Because he's God. And God is true. And God's absolute truth. And God reacts and acts upon the things that's right, upon truth. He is all truth. So as we keep reading, we'll see some other lies develop. Satan is the author of lies, remember? And he uses people. We've already seen the lie that Absalom has had, telling all the people how great a king he would be. But then we're introduced to an individual called Ziba. Ziba is the servant of Mephibosheth. Remember earlier in the scripture, Mephibosheth was that one that was crippled. He was the grandson of Saul and Jonathan's son. Jonathan and David were best friends. And now David wanted to know one time, what has ever happened? Is there any of Jonathan's children still left? Yes, there's one Mephibosheth. So we had him bid, now he's feeding him from his table. He has a servant, Ziba. We just read about him. Ziba is telling some more lies. Seems really good. He's bringing David all these fruits and all these gifts. And then David asked him a question. Where's Mephibosheth? Did I not tell you that your job was to be a servant to Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son? Yes, but don't you see? He told a lie. He said, Mephibosheth says he's been down there, and he thinks today, since you're leaving, that God's going to give him the kingdom and the throne. That was a lie. But see, the truth will prevail. And now Ziba's telling another lie, but that's not the end of the story. One not lie upon another lie. God's in heaven observing all these things. The assumed responsibility and authority that Solomon's had is going to be very short-lived, because after a while David has fled, he has taken his children, his grandchildren. Of course, with one son, Absalom, still there, but he's a rebel. He hasn't trusted God. Everything has been forsaken in the house of David, and you would think that God's not on the scene. But remember, truth belongs to God. David is God's anointed, and David will surely be taken care of by his father. So lies are being told. Mephibosheth now has been the one that you have loved and you have cherished and you have restored. You have let him eat at your table, and now the lie is he's turned his back on you. That lie won't last very long, because Ziba now is going to be found out also. See, when truth prevails, lies and people that react to those lies, God's going to hold them in judgment, because he's absolute truth. God is truth. Let every man will come to grips with the fact that God is truth. So along the line, we are introduced to another individual. As David is fleeing, now this is the one I want to major on this morning, this great lie that is being told. Look at verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Another one of Saul's relatives. Remember why God removed Saul and God had Saul killed? Because Saul would not obey God. He would not follow God. He tucked his head that I'm in charge, and he would not listen to God. And when God chooses someone, as he did Saul, and they won't listen to him and follow him, then God will dispose of them in the only way God sees fit. He is the one that is in complete control. So now we have another relative. We have another relative of Saul, Shimei. And as David is leaving, God's anointed one, he still got bitterness in his heart, like the other great prophet had in his heart. And now he is cursing David as he's leaving. That's not all he's doing. Look what else he's doing in verse 6. And he cast stones at David. Can you imagine? David, humble David, and his children and grandchildren are leaving, going over the hill, And now this man, Shimei, is cursing. The children hear it. The grandchildren hear it. Not only is he cursing, but he's throwing stones. The stones can hurt. The stones can destroy. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, "Come out, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Beulah. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, and who said thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in the mischief, because thou art a bloody man." Remember, David had at his right side and his left side his mighty men. We don't have time to go into that. You've read a lot about David's mighty men. One man that can slay hundreds. One of his mighty men can slay hundreds and kill them. And they said, "David, this man is cursed, God's anointed. It won't take very much effort on our part to get rid of him and kill him." But now David says, "No, don't touch him. His time has not come yet. God is the avenger. You and I aren't. Even though he may have you dead, it is God. Remember, truth will stand. The appearance of things are not what it appears to be. And now the assumed authority that Absalom has given himself won't last very long. And now David has fled. The rocks have been hurled. The lies have been told." Happens today. Lies are told on God's anointed upon their family. God's in heaven observing. What are we supposed to do? David's a pretty good example of what we're supposed to do. Leave him alone. Don't address it. Don't bother with it. Could you? Of course you could. Let God be the avenger. God has got the absolute authority, and all this temporary authority that Absalom thinks he's got won't last very long. What about Shimei's cursing you, calling you sons of Beulah, sons of hell? God hears it. God records it. God will keep a record of it. It's a good lesson for you and I. We're learning lessons from God's Word about you, how you and I will live. Will you be accused? Will you be hurt? Will your children be accused and lied upon? Absolutely. What are you supposed to do about it? Let God handle it. Just stand back and let God handle it. God is absolute truth. The appearance of things are not what they seem to be. And the fact that assumes authority and people have the right to make corrections and to try to address problems when they have no authority to do it, God will deal with it. And when he deals with it, will be absolute authority. But now we see Absalom. We've got to deal with him a little bit. Absalom's on the throne. He's taken over and he's got Israel deceived. He's got the great prophet and the great seer that, or the great man of God that David had on his side. You think he's riding pretty good. But you see, David knew which way God knew which way Absalom was going to ride. So he had prepared this great tree. And one day, as Absalom, who liked to be, you know, really handsome, the Bible says, he had this long hair, and the glory that he had seemed to be in his hair. And God knew which way he was riding, the height of the mule and the height of him. And God had that branch, just so as he rode on it, that branch just grabbed him by the hair, and there he hung. What about the mule? It just rode on. It just rode on. And see, God uses animals. He uses trees. He uses things to bring honor and glory to his name. And Absalom had been assuming authority he didn't have. But absolute authority took over, and now there Absalom hangs. And a certain man came by and put darts through him, and it was told David, "Absalom, thy son, is dead." You know what David did? He didn't rejoice. "Now I'll get my kingdom back." You know what David did? He wept. David's a man of God's own heart. Was he trying to destroy him? Yeah, but see, David, three times in the Word of God, when Saul was trying to kill him, three times in one chapter, when Saul was trying to kill him, and he gave the account, you know what the Scripture said David did? And David did that which was right. A lesson is, when the enemy assaults you, and when people try to assume authority, and tried to do things that they have no authority to do. And when lies are told on you and your family, just let God handle it. And God will handle it in his own way. Absalom's gone. Now David can return. Oh, but we still have to deal with Shimei. He's the one that cursed. And remember what David said? Mighty men, hold your peace. I'm not going to step in and do anything about it. I'm going to let God handle it. Let's see if, oh, we know he did, but let's see how God handled it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. Thirdly, absolute authority taken over. David's back on the throne. And now another son has tried to take and be upon the throne. Don't self-appoint yourself. It will not work. Another one of his sons says, I will go on the throne. Well, that didn't work either because God said Solomon is going to be on the throne. Now, David's on his deathbed. David is telling his son Solomon what to do because he is God's anointed. Remember, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. David doing speaking, talking to his son Solomon. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahalan. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do in him. But his hoary head, bring thou down to the grave with blood. You think that sounds cruel? David's not the one giving orders here. God, through David, is giving orders. And maybe he deserved that earlier. That wasn't David's choice. It was God's choice. But now, through the eyes of God, David is telling Solomon what he needs to do. Remember how he's to build the ark? He gives how he's to build the temple. He gives him the pattern. And most of the gold and silver and most of the proceeds to build the temple. Why did God not let David build a temple? David wanted to. David wanted to build a house for his God. But God says, no, you've seen too many wars and you've had too much bloodshed on you. I'll give you the pattern. I'll give you the proceeds and I'll give you most of the riches. But thy son Solomon shall build it. So God's doing the speaking. Shimei's had all these years. Oh, but Shimei, after David was coming in, he went down to Jordan to greet him like, oh yeah, but he never asked forgiveness that we can find in the Word of God. He had told lies on him, said, you're a bloody man, and you've had something to do with Saul's, one of my inheritance, one of my family's death, you had something to do with it? No, he didn't. That was God. Now, Shimei now has perceived to be back in line. But God's the one that's absolute authority, and he's the one that's been keeping the records. God doesn't forget. You and I may forget, and hopefully we will forgive. David had forgiven. But yet God says, because he has cursed my man, and because he has cast stones, and hurt you and your children and your grandchildren. Solomon, God will tell you what to do. Let's see what Solomon does and we'll be closing. Absolute authority we're talking about. God has given it to now Solomon. 1 Kings 2:36. And the king sent, this is Solomon, and called for Shimei and said to him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth hence anywhither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goeth out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good, as my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do, and Shimei dwell in Jerusalem many days. Very good, easy sentence, was it not? He deserved to die, and yet he is given the second chance. He lied. He cast stones. He threw hurt upon the children and the grandchildren of David. He went against God's anointed. But here he is, given another opportunity. God sets boundaries on your life, don't you see? Your boundary is quite easy. God sets a boundary on you and he sets a boundary on me. Remember, we don't assume authority. God is absolute authority. We try to make corrections and we try to do things many times that we have no authority to do. God's keeping the record. And now the simple task. There's a brook. I've been to the brook. The brook is right beside where Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he's at the brook. And he realized, if I go across that brook, I'm going to die. The judgment has been set. But yet, we won't read it, but two of his servants had strayed, had wandered, had left him and went to another country. And without thinking, perhaps, or without hearing, without knowing what thus saith the judgment of God on their life, there is a judgment on their life. And if you have a mark and you have a place that God has said you don't cross it, and you cross it, you're in big trouble with God. So we cross it. But word came to Solomon, of course. God sees everything that we say. He knows what we do it. And furthermore, he knows why we do it. So when he came back, he was addressed by the king personally. Did you not know the brook was the boundary? Yes, I did. Did you not say by your own lips that judgment I gave you, that God gave me to give you, was fair and just, and you said it was good? Yes, I did. But you crossed it. So he gave his servant Benai the charge. Go bring him dead. Just like go bring him down, just like my father told me to do. And God knows your steps. He knows your future steps. He surely knows their past steps. And for a period of time, Shimei had been forgiven by David. But God knew he wouldn't hold into it. His heart wasn't in it. He had pretended, of course, to go welcome David back home across the Jordan. Pretense doesn't get you very far. And let's look at Ziba. Remember Ziba, who had told a lie? He had told a lie on Mephibosheth. But let God be true and every man a liar. And now David had got to talk to Mephibosheth and said, your servant said, the one I said was your servant, said that you were out to destroy me and we're going to take the kingdom back yourself. I didn't say that. Ziba lied on me. You can assume authority, but only God's the one that gives absolute authority. As father, he has given you some authority in your home. Has a mother, he's given you some authority in your home. One of the mistakes we see David made, and David had his problems, and you have yours and I have mine. He did not address the fact that his son, Ammon, had raped his daughter, which is his sister. He didn't address it. He let it go and wander 2 years. And then his son Absalom took the bull by the horn, so to speak, and killed him. He didn't address that either. He just let him stay out in the wilderness wondering. He didn't exercise the authority that God had given him. We've looked at assumed authority. We've looked at absolute authority. But let's look lastly. Now, I didn't mean to go here and take this long. But don't shirk the duty of the authority God gives you. That's where you get in bigger trouble. You get in real big trouble by assuming authority and going on your own. We saw that. But you get in just as big a trouble for others too. Your family and your grandchildren, and all the things God has given you authority over. If you don't assume that authority and do what God expects you to do, then it's on your hands. A lot of these problems are on David's hands, and God did hold him accountable. Lessons in truth. Truth will prevail. God is truth. Let every man be a liar. We've all failed. We've all come short. But this is a lesson to every one of us, that the authority God has given us. And remember, the Bible is God's authority. I used to love to teach. Sunday school. I used to love to teach in Blue Ridge Community College when I had the opportunity at night. And I loved it. And textbooks were always changing, particularly technical textbooks. If you got one 5 years later, throw it away. Something new's developed. But thank God when you're teaching the Word of God. The ages to come, it is the authority, and it never changes. We assume authority. Appearances look like they're going different than they really are, but when you let God be the authority in your life, and you assume that responsibility God gave you by His Word, by His standard, which never changes. It's a boundary, don't you see? Shimei, I have a boundary easy to follow. God's Word is boundaries. if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you stay on this side of the boundary, I'll bless you. Would you stand this morning? Your head's bowed. Truth in God's Word. Lessons in truth. We won't reiterate at any point. Let God be true and every man a liar. Would you please come to the instruments? Brother Randy sang a song that God puts on your heart to sing. You may be here this morning. You're not assuming the authority God has given you. You're letting it go. And you may be here and you have taken some authority that you have no ability to do that. It hurts others. It causes much hurt. Either way, to assume authority like Absalom did caused a lot of death, caused a lot of hurt. And then not to assume the authority God gives you caused a lot of hurt. There's only one, only one way to handle it. Let God be the authority in your life and His precious Word. A lot of lessons we have this morning from God's Word. Let's heed Him, obey Him, and hold true to God's Word. Would you come? Heads are bound. Thank you.